It is analysis on the state Supreme Court race here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. If Judge Brian Hagedorn's lead holds, the state Supreme Court could have a conservative majority for years to come. Here he is declaring victory at a news conference yesterday in Pewaukee.
I was wanting to get key partisan politics out of the Supreme Court. I don't want to see the court be a, you know, political playground for anybody on the left or the right. It's a place where we are to do law and be faithful to the law.
We're looking at balance of power and the influence of the state's high court on Wisconsinites. Do you think there should be a recount or not? Why? And when you consider the future of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, what do you think the state needs? Let us know at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ryan Owens is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and director of the Tommy G. Thompson Center on Public Leadership. He specializes in the Constitution, courts, and law. Ryan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So the Supreme Court race still too close to call. Governor Evers was with us yesterday on our program, and here he is talking about the possibility of a recount for the state Supreme Court election.
It certainly appears to be close enough that a recount is likely. I know everybody that voted, even those that did not vote, want every vote to count, and so it's likely to be a recount, and we'll just have to wait and talk to that to declare a victory.
So, Ryan, how likely do you think it is that there will be a recount for this election?
Well, I think under the law, Judge Neubauer is entitled to a recount. You know, anything where the difference is less than 1%, you're entitled to request it. Anything that's less than a quarter of a percentage point, you don't have to pay for it. The state would pay for it. As far as I can tell right now, it's outside that quarter point percentile. So she's entitled to a recount. She'd have to pay for it. And it seems to me, you know, she's likely to ask for it.
Well, recounts rarely change election results. What is the point of a recount? What's the motivation?
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I think, you know, given where they are right now with that vote difference, it seems incredibly unlikely that that she'd be able to find enough votes, so to speak, to flip that. You know, what's the point? I think, you know, for a lot of people, look, you know, they've invested a lot of time and sweat and energy into this, and they want to make sure that, you know, by God, this is actually what it looks to be. And so there's a little bit of that, and there's also just, you know, signaling to your donors, to your followers, to your supporters that, you know, I'm still in this for the long haul, and so, you know, it's a bit of a signaling mechanism there as well.
Well, she signaled that she is in for the long haul. She posted a video on Facebook yesterday indicating she'll push for a recount. Let's hear some of that.
We faced an unprecedented deluge of last-minute outside dark money spending, more than $1 million in the last week alone. And so now, the morning after the election, this race is still too close to call.
So she's talking about dark money spending and the election results. Can you explain to us what she's referring to there?
Well, I mean, for starters, I just, you know, that that point, it's hard, frankly, to take that seriously. You know, she outspent Hagedorn by roughly $2 million, as far as I could tell on this. You know, groups that supported her came in. I think it was an incredibly lopsided spending, if you look at it. So, I mean, there wasn't nearly as much spending on Hagedorn's behalf as there was on Neubauer's. So, you know, this you know, concern is a little strange. It is correct that at the last minute he did receive some spending, some, you know, third party groups coming in and spending money on his behalf. But when you look at the totals on this, I mean, she outspent him by millions of dollars. So, you know, that's just more of a campaigning strategy, I think, to make those comments. And, you know, again, she's entitled to a recount under the law. And, you know, we have a process for this. If it's a close election, there's a recount. It's a good process. We need to let it work. But at the end of the day, it doesn't seem as though there's going to be enough there to kind of switch the results of this.
Do you think outside money made this a more partisan-focused election?
More than what?
More than, I mean, this is supposed to be a nonpartisan election, but do you think these outside groups influenced and made it more of a focus on partisanship?
Partisanship? No, not at all. I didn't see any ads in there talking about, you know, Republicans or Democrats. If it's about ideology, then perhaps. But this happens all the time in these races and nonpartisan, particularly in nonpartisan races. You know, and the Supreme Court has, the U.S. Supreme Court has weighed in on this and said that these groups have a First Amendment right to do it. So, you know, there are a lot of different ways that states can select their Supreme Court justices. They can do it with partisan elections. They can do it with nonpartisan elections, you know, in appointments and a handful of other mechanisms. And, you know, you're never going to get money out of these things. People are entitled to spend on behalf of the candidates of their choice. So it just, you know, it is what it is. There are certainly a handful of things that you could do to make things clearer potentially for voters. But yeah, this is how it operates, and this is how it has operated for years.
Talking with Ryan Owens, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and talking about the Supreme Court election, are you concerned about dark money in campaigns? Do you think it influenced this state's Supreme Court election or not? Hagedorn voters, Neubauer voters, non-voters, we want to hear your thoughts on this undecided election at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Ryan Owens, what are some of the things that would make it more clear for voters? You know, what are some things that you could do to provide clarity?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things that different states do. Some states actually run partisan elections for their state Supreme Courts. And so when you go in and you vote for state Supreme Court justice, you can see that there's an R or a D next to somebody's name. You know, that, of course, has the effect of informing voters who, you know, a candidate is, sort of what their general philosophy is. And it's right there on the ballot. It's a heuristic, a shortcut that people can use. Some people have argued that gives a little bit more power to the candidates and to the voters to let them know exactly who the person is. You know, because when you go into a voting booth and you don't know who a candidate is, you know, who is this person? If you see that R, the D, that kind of gives you some information. And if you don't have that information, some have argued that, you know, you're more reliant than on outside spending by third parties. Another thing that states could do, you know, I lived in Massachusetts for a little while. A lot of times they would send you, the state would send voting materials to voters about who the candidates were, giving you a short blurb about what they stand for, that sort of thing. You know, that's something that could be done as well. That's a policy decision. I'm not supporting one or the other, but those are options out there.
And before we go into a break here, what do we know about when we would know whether there is a recount?
Shortly. I haven't looked at the statutory language on this, but I think if they're going to declare that you want one, you've got to do it within a time period. So that's likely to be soon.
We're talking about the state Supreme Court race as Judge Brian Hagedorn holds a narrow lead with a possibility of a recount looming. Ryan Owens stays with us. He's a UW-Madison political science professor and director of the Tommy G. Thompson Center on Public Leadership. Do you think there should be a recount for the Supreme Court race? Why or why not? Do you think Judge Hagedorn should just be declared the winner since he does have a narrow majority? Or do you think it's too close to call? Join in with your thoughts, your questions on the election at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the state Supreme Court election here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. With all the precincts reporting, Judge Brian Hagedorn led Judge Lisa Neubauer by just under 6,000 votes out of more than 1.2 million votes counted. Wisconsin has no automatic recounts. Here is Judge Hagedorn yesterday responding to the possibility of a recount at a press conference in Pewaukee where he declared victory.
If a recount happens, absolutely. We'll be prepared financially. We'll be prepared legally. to do that, and we'll already be making all the preparations necessary for that.
We're talking about the possibility of a recount and what that looks like. We're talking about the court's balance of power and the impact of money on elections. Do you worry about spending on campaigns? Hagedorn voters, Neubauer voters, non-voters, we want to hear your thoughts on this undecided election. Do you think it influenced this state Supreme Court election or not? We're at 800-642-1234. UW-Madison political science professor Ryan Owens stays with us. Ryan, you know, how big of a deal would a recount be? How many times has this happened in the past, Supreme Court elections?
It has happened in the past. It's not commonplace. Obviously, you know, most elections aren't quite this close, but it has happened in the past, and you gotta just let this process work itself out. I think as a winner, you know, Hagedorn of course wants to be cautious that that there aren't any sort of shenanigans or something in the recount process, and that's not likely to occur. So it's got some legitimacy enhancing benefits to this. As the winner, you go through this again, you say, sure, of course, you know, we'll do a recount, and after that recount is done, what's likely to be the case is declared the victor, then yeah, go ahead. He's got more legitimacy at that point. And so that's likely to be what happens here.
And Michael called in to ask, unable to stay with us, he wants to know, with these recalls, are taxpayers on the hook?
Well, again, if the recount is a quarter of a percentage point, if the margin is a quarter of a percentage point less, then the taxpayers are. If not, then it's the candidates.
So let's look at recusals for a moment. It's an issue that's come up recently. The League of Women Voters even asked the candidates about it. And regardless of which, you know, how this all ends, will recusals continue to be a big issue for the state Supreme Court?
Well, it might be. I think there are outside groups that are interested in this. A lot of times their motivations are good. Other times I think their motivations are frankly to try to, sort of whittle away at judicial elections. I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying it's a thing. So we kind of want to keep an eye on this. There are different motivations for why you bring up the recusal issue. The court sort of looked at this a few years ago, decided not to move forward with it. I can't imagine that's going to change anytime soon. It's an issue out there.
Have justices handled recusals differently? Is it up to the justice? How does that work?
It's certainly different across the states and at the national level. I think the predominant thing here is usually it's a decision that the justices make independently by themselves. There are some guidelines that are out there for them to look at in terms of the appearance of fairness and that kind of thing. It tends to be an individual level decision made by the justices. The fact of the matter is, it's not something that they take lightly. We elect seven people to sit on our Supreme Court, and I think most people would agree you probably don't want them dropping from cases, with a regular frequency, because, they're there in the Constitution. We want them there. There's something called the rule of necessity, which means that judges on a court of last resort ought to sit unless there's a very clear reason for them not to.
Well, Shana from Green Bay wants to look at the politics of this election. Shana, hi.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I was calling because I was just thinking about the recent gubernatorial election and Tony Evers being elected, and I'm curious what the guest would say about in the past when governor of the other party is elected, if the Supreme Court elections often go to the other leaning candidate.
Great question, Shana. What do we know about this, Ryan?
Yeah, thanks, Shana. Well, you know, this is a trend that we see at the national level as well. So, you know, anytime there's a new president and the next election, sort of the midterm type election, you do see a spike in turnout from the other party. I think in this election here, that mattered. So if you look at the 2018 midterm elections, Republicans played defense basically everywhere in Wisconsin. They had to defend Trump's record. They had to defend Walker's record. And a lot of time that's hard to do. So, you know, I think Democrats had a bit of an advantage in 2018 in those terms. And now when you look at the election here just a couple of days ago, you know, Republicans, conservatives, they weren't out there having to defend Trump. Now it was sort of more of an even playing field. In fact, you know, one might argue that conservatives had a bit of an advantage because now they were able to see Tony Evers' budget and some of his proposals. They were able to react to that. They were able to see what some of the national Democrats are talking about sort of in the lead up to their primaries, and they were able to react to that. And then, of course, you had the comments about Hagedorn's past, and, you know, he linked that up to an attack on his Christian faith. They're able to react to that. So I think that there were some turnout mechanisms here that, that helped conservatives that we didn't see in 2018, and that tends to motivate the base to come out and vote.
Ryan, let's look at balance of power on the court. If Hagedorn does end up being the official winner, what will be the significance of that 5-2 conservative majority?
Well, you know, it remains to be seen yet in terms of doctrinal approaches. I think a lot of people would point out that there are differences between the conservatives just in general judicial philosophy. I think you've seen certainly among the four that are there right now, Bradley and Kelly are more similar to one another. And then you have Rogensack and Ziegler who are still, you know, conservatives, but they don't have the same kinds of jurisprudential philosophy. So we've seen a little bit of a break between those two camps there among the conservatives. I think Hagedorn would come in likely to be more like a Bradley or a Kelly. So I think those are the doctrinal consequences of this. But in terms of just the political balance and power going forward, look, I mean, this is huge for conservatives. Had they lost this seat, that gives them a 4-3 majority on the court. And then, you know, 2020, Dan Kelly's seat is up. He can certainly win that that election, but it's going to be difficult. Democrats are going to be motivated. That election will be held at the same time as Democrats go in to cast their votes in the primary for Democratic presidential selection. So, you know, it would be tough. And if they had lost that seat, it would have flipped 4-3 conservative to 4-3 liberal. Conservatives and Republicans wouldn't have had a chance to win that back until 2025. So this is a pretty significant victory.
And these judges have decade-long terms, and the timing would be then significant for that next election since it falls on a cycle when perhaps there's more turnout.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Again, you know, that's certainly not to prejudge it. It's quite possible that, you know, Kelly could win that reelection. We don't know yet what's going to be on that election other than, you know, the Democratic primary. It could be that there's, you know, a ballot initiative that could get conservatives out there. You know, we have no idea whether Donald Trump is going to try to get involved with a Democratic primary one way or the other. And if he does that, whether or not he sort of gins up behavior among his base to kind of come in and vote in the Democratic primary. So it's just, we don't really know yet for sure, but what we do know is that securing this victory was tremendous for conservatives.
We were talking to your colleague yesterday, Barry Burden, and he's saying, you know, it's interesting that turnout is light for these nonpartisan elections because their impact is so great on our day-to-day life when you are electing mayors and local offices and school referendums. Is there something to that?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, all of these public offices are important, and we should treat them as such. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that at all.
Well, as you watch this play out, and perhaps a recount, perhaps not, what are you watching for?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, some takeaways from the election. The first is that, you know, grassroots politics still matters a lot. Republicans and conservatives came out to vote quite a bit the other night, and I don't think people expected that to happen. So a lot of people, I think, were caught by surprise by that. And so definitely coordinated efforts still matter. Money can buy a lot of things, but it doesn't always buy victory. Neubauer's campaign, again, outspent Hagedorn's by a considerable margin. And, you know, campaigns still matter. Grassroots still matter. The other thing I'm looking at, too, is the voting patterns in across the state, but in particular, if you look at Dane County and Milwaukee.
And we'll have to end it right there, Ryan Owens. Thank you so much. Ryan Owens, professor of political science at UW-Madison, directs the Tommy G. Thompson Center on Public Leadership. Coming up next, if you need frozen pizza, Wisconsin's got you covered. We'll talk about frozen pizza with a food writer. This is the Ideas Network.